stilts? This looks like the end of Rocket Ship 1, and all you do is sit there in your cushy leather chair looking out your plush high-rise window.
I know things are bad.
Bad? Henderson will most likely be convicted for your crimes, and our facility will be sold to cover all the lawsuits.
Yes. Unfortunate.
Even if this organization could rise out of the ashes, you'd need a cheap facility to reestablish, and you'd need it now.
I know. I'm working on it. Now, Denny, leave me.
What? Not now. We need a plan.
Get out!
I'm done with you, Fred.
I'm leaving. But remember my warning.
I will have a new facility before long.
Hello, Mr. Diltz.
Chester, I'm tired of your little antics at the Brennan Ranch.
Little antics? I've done everything I can think of to shut them down.
If you notice, it hasn't been working. I want something that takes them out.
I told you, I don't want to hurt anyone.
Look, there may be a gold mine of oil under their property. And it's all yours if you can take them out.
And a facility for you.
Exactly. Chester, you may not like hurting anyone. None of us really do. But sometimes I've learned that it's just a necessary evil.
But I don't think I could. Wait. I just had an incredibly wicked idea.
Oh, do tell.
Not yet. I need to do some checking first. But if I'm right, this would be the ultimate stunt to cripple their museum.
What treacherous scheme is Chester planning? Will the Brennan Museum of Creation be able to survive the challenges? To find out, join the adventure in Jonathan Park and Midnight at Brennan Ranch.
Hello, I'm Jonathan Park. My family and the Brennans run a museum in Abiquiu, New Mexico. That afternoon, Pastor Fletcher was in his study, books covering his desk.
Boy, you're hard at it.
Yes. Kendall and the others are really keeping me busy.
How?
Before they came into my life, I had decided that Origins was kind of a side issue. But they keep delivering me blows that are getting harder to shrug off.
Like what?
I've shared the creation trilemma with you.
That you can place the fossils and layers before, during, or after creation.
Right. And as you know, they're having me preview this packet they're making for pastors.
Mm-hmm.
I stumbled across this.
A diagram?
Yes. They point out that if you place the fossils and layers here, before creation, or here, during creation, then you cannot also place them after creation, during Noah's flood.
Do you think they're right?
I don't feel they are. I mean, I've always assumed the layers and fossils were from millions of years of Earth's history.
Mm, everyone says that, right?
Scientists, seminary, Bible teachers. Yes, everyone. And yet I've always believed in a worldwide flood. But maybe I haven't been consistent.
What do you mean?
I really do believe these fossils and layers are ancient. And in doing that, I reject that they come from the worldwide flood, only about 4,000 years ago.
So, why can't you believe both?
Well, like it says here, a worldwide flood, by its very nature, would cause tidal waves, earthquakes, and deposit sediment everywhere. In Genesis 7:22, it says, "All in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died."
That could be what created the fossils.
Right. They point out that by the very catastrophic nature of a worldwide flood, there is no way that it could not produce fossils and layers. So I can make my choice. Either the fossils and layers are very ancient, or they are a result of Noah's flood.
Which is it?
Lorraine, I hate to say it, but maybe I am being inconsistent.
Well, I'll continue to pray that the Lord helps us to understand the truth.
While Pastor Fletcher struggled through his dilemma, the maintenance team traced the mysterious noise to the Dawn of Time Cafe.
So, where'd you hear it?
Right over here, about this booth.
It's so loud in here, it's pretty hard to hear. There's only one way to take care of that.
Oh no, you're not going to.
Excuse me, people. Museum maintenance crew.
So embarrassing.
We are on a top priority mission. We need absolute silence.
Now everyone's watching us.
I rushed over here so fast I forgot my stethoscope.
Guys, you just need a glass. You can put it up to the wall and then put your ear to it like this.
Please tell me it's a clean glass, Mary.
Shh. I hear it. It's over here.
Can I try?
Give him the glass, Mary. He is our superior.
I'll get another from right here.
I'll take one of those.
I, being second in command, probably need one.
Just like a low rhythmic throbbing.
I noticed it's mostly happening during the night. And only lasts for a short time before it completely disappears again.
It seems actually to be closest to the outside wall. Randall, come here. I need to go higher. Let me get on your shoulders.
Wouldn't a ladder be more appropriate?
Rand, just give me a boost.
Oh, all right.
I'll go low, under the table. Yeah, I hear it.
Yeah, it's really loud on the floor.
I also hear footsteps.
Maybe because someone's walking up to you.
Miles Morgan!
You people are nuts. I think you've got all our customers wondering what... Oh,
there it is. Really loud.
Well, I hear it. Get me one of those glasses.
Shh.
Thanks for dropping by, son.
Well, it's hot and you've got a swimming pool. And I've been working hard out on the ranch. I figured I could swim and we could both chill.
What's that supposed to mean?
Nothing. Just, I can feel one of those heartfelt lectures coming on.
Dean, I just want to make sure you're doing well, son.
I'm doing pretty well. Making some good money.
Well, that's good. A good honest day's work never hurt anyone.
Right.
It's interesting you're working at Chester Dillon's ranch, and I'm spending so much time at the next ranch over.
About that, Dad. I wish you'd quit hanging out with them.
Is it what they teach that bothers you?
No. To be honest, they seem to be fully committed to their faith.
What do you mean by that?
I'm not saying it's good or bad, just that when it comes to the Bible, they're all in.
You're saying I'm not?
No. I know you're committed to your faith, the church, and everything. You know, growing up, you taught me that the scriptures would be my guide. But watching how you lived, it also taught me not to discount the practical side of worldly know-how.
I'm not sure I'm following you.
Dad, it's like this battle you're having over Genesis right now. On one side, you see the plain meaning of it, and on the other, you see the reality of man's scientific research. It's not a bad thing. It's helped me understand life better.
How?
It's taught me that faith is fine, but we also need to be practical, to live in the real world.
You mean to take man's wisdom over God's?
No. Well, maybe. I guess to keep your faith separate from day-to-day realities of life.
Dean, that's not at all what I believe.
Dad, you may say that, but that's not how you live.
Okay. I think that was completely out of line. You know that I...
Hi, Dad. Hey, big brother. Mind if I join you for a swim?
Not at all. We could use a good cooling off right about now. Dad, you gonna join us?
No thanks. I love you, son.
Right back at you, Dad.
Shadow! There's nothing out there.
Maybe he hears that mystery sound again.
Yes, it's really been bothering his ears.
Okay, well, I think we've discussed everything we need to for now about the Visitor Appreciation Day. Thank you, Katie and Jesse, for helping us.
Oh, it's our pleasure, Mom.
Mom, I know you don't usually feel comfortable with sleepovers, but Jenny's family has invited Katie and I to spend the night tomorrow.
Well...
And I had a great idea. Instead of going to her house, what if she comes here? We could ride horses, and then I could also be around tonight to help watch Summer Melody.
They have become pretty good friends. I'm okay with it. What about you, Angela?
Sure, I agree. It may be a good opportunity to continue to build our relationship.
Tell you what, I'll talk to your dad and see if he agrees.
Thanks, Mom.
Okay, Chester. Just about got the cattle in for the afternoon.
Good work, Dean.
You mind if I ask you a personal question?
Shoot.
Everything going okay with your partner?
You read me like a book, don't you? He's really cranking up the heat. He wants us to disable the Brennan Museum once and for all.
I guess with all the oil under the property, it's gonna be worth it, eh?
You ever notice that water tank on their land?
The water tank? What are you thinking?
Imagine it toppling over. Suddenly, them folk would have 300,000 gallons of water funneling downhill right through the opening of that cave.
Oh, wow. But hey, that could really hurt someone.
That's why we do it at night when no one is there.
Later, Dr. Benson, Mr. Brennan, and Mr. Michaels were gathered in the museum conference room.
Okay, our next interviewee should be here any minute. You ready?
I sure hope she's our person.
She's here.
All right.
Okay, send her in. Does anyone know anything about her?
Hello, Mr. Michaels.
Hello.
Hello, Mrs. Fairfax. Oh, you've got brownies.
Oh, great.
Yes, they're my famous June Fairfax Melt Away Brownies.
Those look great.
Please take one.
Thank you. This is Zach Benson, our staff paleontologist, and this is Jim Brennan, our founder.
Mr. Brennan, I've heard so much about you.
Yes, well, you can't believe everything you read.
No, I've heard only the best things. I must admit, I'm quite the fan.
I'll take a brownie. Please, have a seat. You can sit right over here next to Jim, and then let's get started.
Oh, thank you. Here's one for you, Mr. Brennan.
Well, they do look awfully appetizing, but perhaps after the interview. May we see your application?
They're made with real cocoa dark chocolate. And my secret ingredient.
These are terrific.
Well, they do sound good, but...
Oh, go ahead and try one.
I'm actually kind of watching my weight right now. A few too many trips away with restaurant food, and I haven't been working much around the round.
Good, aren't they?
I can't believe you just shoved that in my mouth.
So, what do you think?
I think it's time we switched agencies.
Hello, Chester Dillon.
Howdy, it's Dave. I just want to let you know that we need to do a few more tests out on the Brennan property.
You remember the situation. We can't let them know.
No problem. We'll do it at night.
The next morning, my father had accepted Pastor Fletcher's invitation to the Pastors Association in Santa Fe.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Dr. Park, I'm surprised to hear a paleontologist make a case for a 6,000-year-old Earth.
Here's the problem. Throughout all of Creation Week, God keeps calling his work good. And then, in Genesis 1:31, God completes creation by saying, "And God saw everything that he had made, and, behold, it was very good."
I don't think we're getting your point.
Well, Pastor Felix, you believe that God made a never-ending chain of progressive creations, each wave dying out as God created new ones over millions of years. Dennis, you also believe in millions of years of animals living and dying.
Still thinking that through.
And Pastor McMillan, as a theistic evolutionist, you say that God used a horrible process of survival of the fittest. Might makes right. Nature red in tooth and claw. You see, with every other interpretation of Genesis, there is death and suffering before creation week is over.
True.
All of these positions have millions of years of death, pain, and suffering. So what you're saying is that animals ripping each other apart were all part of God's sinless, perfect world. Does it sound theologically right and in line with the character of God that the foundations of the earth were built on this, and then the Creator pronounced it very good?
Maybe God doesn't see animal death as significant.
You don't think animal death counts?
Maybe it was just natural.
Well, Pastor McMillan, I couldn't disagree with you more. To me, the only way to avoid this problem is just accept the account as it stands, without adding evolution or progressive creation over millions of years.
So I think we have the schedule down for the basic flow of Appreciation Day.
I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Oh, but there's so much more to do.
Which brings us to an excellent time-saving idea.
Oh, does it?
Timmy's right. So we were thinking, if we spent the night here at the ranch, we could reinvest that drive time into working.
That sounds like a pretty good plan.
And if they did spend the night, you were thinking it would be awfully fun to sleep in the astronomy room.
The astronomy room?
Yeah. Huh?
Yes! It's so neat with all the stars shining above and the planets and stuff.
Okay. Well, it sounds like we need to check with Jim and Kendall. And your parents.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm open to the idea.
Yes!
Dad, thank you for taking the time to talk to me.
Oh, I really enjoy it, Dennis.
Dad, you were a missionary kid, and you believe in a young Earth. I've really been struggling with this lately.
It's an important issue.
I was at a meeting today, and a friend pointed out the problem of millions of years of death, pain, and suffering, followed by God's proclamation that his creation was very good.
That's a great point. But there's even a bigger problem. You'd be saying there were millions of years of death before Adam and Eve even sinned. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned.
One of the pastors in my spam association is a theistic evolutionist. He claims that death was just a natural part of the world God created.
That's not just a theistic evolutionist point of view, but anyone who believes in millions of years before Adam and Eve.
Dad, that'd include my position.
Yeah, listen, there's no easy way around this problem of death before the fall. Many have suggested that the death brought about by Adam's sin was only spiritual, not real physical death.
But Adam and Eve did die, and everyone since then because of the curse of sin.
That's what the Bible clearly teaches. The other way is to say that animal death doesn't count.
Someone said that at the meeting today.
But Romans 8:22 says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." The whole creation, son, that includes animals, suffered as part of the fall. You know, Dennis, people will do an awful lot of tweaking on the scriptures before they let go of the millions of years.
We decided that one way we might get more visitors to the ranch is by offering late-night activities. That night was our first after-hours cave tour.
What was that last section called?
Twisted Tunnel.
By the way, we have engineers working to open up a special fossil room in a passage that branches off back there.
It was a new discovery made here very recently. So if you enjoy tonight's tour, please come back on Visitors Appreciation Day and be one of the first to see the amazing fossil room.
Okay, let's all keep moving forward. In just a few more rooms, we'll see the star of the show, the cathedral room. As we walk through this next passage, please feel free to ask any questions.
The cave tour wasn't the only activity going on late that night.
Martha and Angela, why don't you tell these gentlemen what you're looking for?
So, could you tell me what you envision for a special event like our Visitors Appreciation Day?
Well, it seems like you're going to need something special to eat, something real special. I'm thinking mac and cheese with hot dogs cut up into it.
You want to serve their guest mac and cheese with hot dogs?
Well, sure. I mean, we go all out, don't we?
And in your mind, that's macaroni?
Yeah, maybe we could have some special decorations, like a piñata filled with cannoli, you know what I mean?
A piñata?
Yeah. You got a problem with that? What's your idea?
Maybe balloons pinned to the walls.
Oh, yeah, that's better.
Look, gentlemen, maybe this just isn't going to work out.
No, it has to. I mean, we really need the work. We gave up our life of crime.
Yeah,
now,
that's right.
Please, just give us a chance.
Yes, please.
Okay, but somehow we need to be realistic with...
Okay, you guys, listen, we're not thinking right. Mm. We each have our own speciality, right?
That's right.
I do come from a long Italian lineage. Okay, what if we start with a pasta bar? Mm. I suggest a myriad of pastas and
what?
Sauces. I also see a lovely cheese tortellini bolognese. Mm, I can
what?
Also whip up a lovely antipasto salad, accompanied by spiced Italian bread.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Now we're talking.
Vinny, maybe you need to think about what kind of flowers your flower shop would fix up.
Flowers?
All right. Stand back. Okay. I'm seeing kind of an entry arbor covered with calla and Asiatic lilies. Maybe some Gerbera daisies, carnations, delphiniums, and ivy, you know what I mean?
Wow.
And then I would suggest beautiful pink and white flower tablescapes. Ones that meander through the table settings like a flowing river, you know? Of course, all provided by Italian Stallion Flower Creations. Forget about it.
What's that?
The name of my flower shop, pal.
Oh,
wow. That sounds really beautiful.
It does.
Hey, I could create a beautiful ice sculpture of your museum logo, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a 5-foot-high coelophysis. We could highlight it on a set of table with soft blue lights to accent the eyes and
nice.
Cast reflections. And beneath would be a fountain gently flowing to add tranquility.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Guys, I think this could really work.
Yeah.
I do too.
Good work, gentlemen.
couple hours later, me and the rest of the Eagle's Nest gang were setting up in the astronomy room for our campout. Okay, guys, everyone got your sleeping bag out?
This is gonna be fun.
All the stars with no mosquitoes. This is the life.
Mosquitoes never bite me when we go camping.
That's because Eddie's always with us.
What do you mean?
They love my blood.
Yep. When you've got Eddie along, you never have to worry about mosquitoes even noticing the rest of us.
Well, guys, we better get some shut-eye soon. Mom and Mrs. Brennan really need our help tomorrow. As we were winding down, so was the first night tour of the Hidden Cave.
Okay, everyone, let's make our way over here to the elevator.
This has been a fantastic tour.
So, would you all recommend that we continue the evening cave tours?
Yeah!
Okay, everyone, please step back from the elevator doors.
Oh, no. Just stay calm. Ryan!
What's going on? It appears we've just temporarily lost power.
But we're in the pitch dark.
The backup lights should come on soon.
This is a little unnerving.
There's the backups.
Why are the lights still so dim?
That's because they're operating on our battery backup. Ryan, let's get everyone into the elevator.
Mr. Michaels, the elevator won't work on the battery power.
Okay, let's make ourselves comfortable. I'm sure the power will come up soon.
Unfortunately, the power wouldn't come on for a very long time. And what we didn't know then was that something horrible was about to happen not too far from the entrance to the cave.
Ridge, you almost got it? Just one more strut. I want to get this done before we get caught.
I can't believe we're stooping to something this low.
Look, once we own this land and all the oil below, it'll be worth it all. I just don't like all this sneaking around in the middle of the night like this. We definitely don't want to be caught or hurt anyone. By dropping this water tank now, nobody will be in the cave when all 300,000 gallons dumps right inside that entrance.
Meanwhile, me and the Eagle's Nest, we're about to embark on our own adventure.
Anyone awake?
I said, is anyone still up?
Hey, you guys up?
We are now. What's wrong, Eddie?
I thought I heard something.
When do we ever spend the night with you when you don't hear something?
Last time it was your old leg shaking against the sleeping bag.
Come on, guys. We've got to get some sleep before we have to work tomorrow.
I hear it.
It's the mysterious noise that the maintenance team's been trying to track down.
It's louder than usual.
Come on, let's find out where it's coming from before it disappears again. As time passed in the cave, the battery reserves were depleted.
We're just sitting here in the dark. Isn't there anything else we can do?
There's just a few of us with flashlights, not enough for the whole group to move through the cave safely to one of the other exits. Let's just stay here by the elevator until power's restored.
Aww. Are you sure we should be outside of the middle of the night like this?
We've been trying to track this sound for a long time.
Come on, it's coming from this direction.
Look over there, strange dim lights. What is that?
What's that doing on our ranch? Let's get even closer.
They're trucks!
Three big trucks followed by a smaller one.
We finally discovered what's making that humming noise.
They're doing something to our ranch. We sat concealed behind some bushes in the dark. The trucks would lower a hydraulic plate from their underside that pressed against the ground until it looked like it was about to lift the truck's wheels into the air. Then they would shake the ground. This was causing shockwaves that produced the sound we had been hearing for days at the museum. After another half hour, they began to leave the ranch, and we decided we had to follow.
Look! They're headed to Chester Dillon's ranch!
Why? Why would Mr. Dillon send trucks to our ranch?
I say we find out.
Me too. Let's follow him onto his property. What we didn't realize was that Mr. Dillon was across on our property. And he was about to do something unthinkable.
Okay, I've cut clean through this support. It's a wonder this thing hasn't already toppled.
It's midnight. We better get out of here before it does and we get caught.
It's gonna go right now.
Oh wow, let's get back.
My welding torch. Let go. We have to get out of the way.
This is gonna make one incredible sound.
Can you imagine the force?
I dropped one once before, and it sent a giant shockwave.
Oh, wow, here it goes.
All right.
A flood of water's headed right for that cave, just like you planned.
Let's hurry up and get out of here before someone shows up.
Right, let's go.
Chester and his men have just flooded the entrance of Hidden Cave with 300,000 gallons of water. What will happen to the people below? What will the Eagle's Nest gang discover? To find out, join us next time for part two of Jonathan Parr and Midnight at Brennan Ranch. You've been listening to the adventures of Jonathan Parr. Although the story is fictitious, many of our adventures are based on real places, historical events, or scientific discoveries. To learn more about Jonathan Parr and evidence for creation, please visit our website at jonathanparr.com. You'll also find additional resources that will help you see and understand how science is in complete agreement with God's Word. That's jonathanparr.com. Be sure to listen to the next album in the Journey Home series as visitors to Brennan Ranch struggle to survive inside the hidden cave in part two of Jonathan Parr and Midnight at Brennan Ranch.
Until next time, this is Dr. Kendall Parr reminding you, this is our Father's world. God created it. We can explore it. So live the adventure.